So yesterday I was looking at Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to start reading verse number 31, just a couple of verses, but it's a powerful story. And this is, again, Jesus had just provided supernatural healing for a woman who was actually Greek. She was not part of the Jewish faith, so she had no covenant in which to operate under. But we see that Jesus in his compassion, Jesus in his love, Jesus in his faithfulness, still, because she operated in faith, he responded to that. So he was in Tyre and the area of Tyre and Sidon when that happened. So verse number 31 of Mark chapter 7, again departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the midst of the region of Decapolis, to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, he sighed, and he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. That's just an awesome thing. We looked yesterday exactly at what Jesus did. The multitudes are there, the multitudes are watching. Jesus knows the hearts of the individuals. And so he takes this individual. This man has people that bring him to Jesus, and they implore Jesus to heal him. Jesus' heart is always to heal. And so he pulls the man away from the multitude so he won't be affected by the multitudes. He wants this man to have his attention solely focused on Jesus, not on the world, not on what's taking place around him. He needs him to be looking to Jesus and to Jesus alone. So he takes him away from the midst of all of that. As we said yesterday, he takes some action. This is not that you and I would follow, and if we're going to pray for somebody for healing, you know, you don't necessarily have to stick your finger in their ears, you know, or spit on your finger and touch their tongue. You don't have to do those things. It's not this was here's step A, B, C, D, and E for you to provide healing. He's just doing something to provide that man with an opportunity to believe in faith. He's providing the man an opportunity to express his faith, to believe and to operate in that faith. And then what I want to look at today is, it says in verse number 34. Here's verse number 34 and 35. Then looking up to heaven, he, Jesus, sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. Now, I touched on this yesterday. Jesus looked up to heaven and he sighed. This just paints such a marvelous picture. Remember who Jesus is. Jesus is God in the flesh, God who chose to become. You know, the Bible tells us he became like this flesh. So in other words, he became like this fallen flesh. He was part of this flesh. He became flesh, but he was not corrupted by the flesh. He was God in this flesh. Flesh had been corrupted. Jesus was never corrupted, but flesh itself, this fallen world, was corrupted by sin. The only way, to bring deliverance, to bring righteousness, was to bring the righteousness of God himself. So this is Jesus, the righteousness of God himself in this flesh. Here's Jesus in this flesh as a man. But as a man, in order for his sacrifice, in order for him to be able to take the sins of all men, he's got to live a life just like you and I. So Jesus, when he was born, Jesus wasn't born as an infant. from minute number one, Jesus was not, hey, I am God in the flesh. Even as a boy. You know, Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus grew in his knowledge. Jesus grew in his revelation of who he was. He had to, just like you and I, he had to learn who he was. You and I have to learn who we are in Jesus Christ. He had to learn who he was in this flesh. He had to learn who he was. And you can see the progression of that revelation and that understanding. And you can certainly see that that was amplified immensely at the time of his baptism when the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And even still, there was that still growth that took place in Jesus all the rest of the time in his life, in this life here in this flesh. You can see a period where Jesus, when he healed the one woman who had the issue of blood, she touched him, and he did not know who it was. He said, "Who is it that touched me?" He felt the power leaving. He saw somebody had exercised faith, and in exercising faith, this woman had received her gift. And Jesus felt the power leaving, but he didn't know who it was, and he said, "Who touched me?" Even at that point, Jesus is still, you can see the growth that's taking place in Jesus, growing in the knowledge of who he is. Because in this flesh is that veil that separates us from our ability to see the spiritual realm. This flesh keeps us tied to the natural realm and all the deceptions and all the faults and all the blindness that comes with this natural realm. But there is a spiritual realm. Jesus came from that spiritual realm. This flesh is what separates us from that. You can see in that process that growth of Jesus Christ as he, as God, overcame that flesh. And one of the highlight moments of that is when you see that Jesus was there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And you can see that moment when that light, he was illuminated like a light. And even his clothes shone as a light. It is that light that is beyond the natural light of the sun. It's the light of God himself. It's a moment where that veil of the flesh was removed. And even Peter, James, and John could see that spiritual realm because the flesh, the veil was removed. And there was the ability to see beyond the natural realm and to see into the spiritual realm. As even God the Father spoke and said to Jesus, "This is my Son. In him I'm well pleased." So you can see that continual growth, but Jesus had to live a life just like you and I. He had to live in this flesh, and this flesh binds us to this natural world and blinds us to the spiritual world. It binds us, B-I-N-D-S, binds us here, chains us to this natural world, but it blinds us from our ability to see in the spiritual realm. And Jesus had to, in order for him to be able to be that perfect sacrifice for us, he had to live a life in this flesh. And he had to deal with the same flesh that you and I have to contend with and have to deal with. And he overcame it all. Now, I say all that because it's imperative that we understand here in verse number 34, as he is faced with a man who is deaf and mute. Now, we don't know why he's deaf, but he needs something supernatural. Something's not working, or some of the equipment that he needs in his ears, eardrums, whatever, the mechanics, something's not there, and we don't know, and it really doesn't matter. But in the natural, he's deaf, and he cannot hear, and he also cannot speak. Jesus is looking at that and seeing that. See, this flesh tells us, if you look at someone, this is why it's hard sometimes when you're praying for someone to operate in faith, because you are looking at that person. If you see somebody in a wheelchair, and they want prayer, they want you to pray for them for healing. You are looking with your natural eyes, and you are seeing them in a wheelchair. And what you're seeing is telling you a story, and it's giving you information. It's letting you know that this person does not have the ability to walk. And it's also letting you know that probably there's been a period of time, maybe their entire life, they've not been able to walk. With your natural eyes, you look and you see that, and it tells you a story. And that story tells you that what they're asking is impossible, because in the natural, it is impossible. In the physical realm, it's impossible. If you would go to the doctors and ask the doctors, they would tell you that, well, this person will never walk again. In the natural, it's impossible. And so when you look at someone in that case, and they ask you to do something that appears to be impossible, your eyes tell you the story of the natural realm, which is, that can't happen. And that affects your faith. It affects your ability to be able to stand and believe. Because this flesh is the veil that hides from us, or it blinds us from the spiritual realm. We need to be able to look past what we see with the natural and to look into the spiritual realm and to see the promises, the already established promises that are done, completed, and finished for us. If you could see into the spiritual realm and see those promises, you would know, you would not at all, you wouldn't care at all what you saw in the natural realm. It would mean nothing to you. It wouldn't matter to you at all that that person was in a wheelchair, because you're looking to the spiritual realm and you are seeing them healed and delivered. And you know that's the ultimate truth, and that's all that would matter to you. and you would not be then affected by what your natural eyes told you, because the spiritual reality is greater than the natural reality. The joy at seeing the promises of Jesus Christ, the joy at seeing the victory of God the Father through Jesus Christ, the joy of seeing the good things He's established for you, and knowing that this is the greater truth, would so overwhelm you, you wouldn't care. What your natural eyes told you would be totally irrelevant, and you would be able to speak and speak His word and see it come to pass. We have to be able to look beyond what our natural eyes tell us. Now again, remember that Jesus is in this flesh. He has to contend with this flesh that binds us to this world and blinds us to the spiritual. He has to contend with that. And He's looking and He's seeing someone that is deaf and it has a speech impediment because of it. The natural world says this is impossible. So what does Jesus do? Looking up to heaven. Jesus looks away from the physical. You know, this is more than just the natural, and I'm sure that was a part of it. I'm sure that Jesus did. I'm sure His head went from the man and looked up to heaven. I'm sure it was a natural thing, but of more importance, it was a spiritual thing as well. He was making the decision to look away from the natural and to look towards the supernatural, to look beyond the veil of this flesh and to see the promises of His Father. And it says, looking up to heaven, He sighed. There had to be a great... When He sees, He knows the pain, the hurt, the discomfort. He sees the results of sin in this world and the effects of sin. And because of the sin and because of the fallen world that we live in, here's a man whose life has been affected. And his heart and his compassion sighs. Here's another one that needs deliverance. But he looks away from the natural. He looks to heaven. And he says this word, Ephphatha, be opened. Jesus says, He speaks the words, looking to heaven, looking to the spiritual realm. He speaks the word that means be opened. With His eyes not on the natural, with His eyes not on the man. Again, if you look back at our illustration, if it's you praying for someone in a wheelchair, you're not looking at the wheelchair. You're not looking at their legs that don't operate. You're looking beyond that and you're seeing them standing in victory and you're seeing them healed and restored, as is what Jesus has provided for us. By His stripes we are healed. This is what Jesus did. He looked away from the natural. He looked to the spiritual and He said, be opened. Immediately the man's ears were opened. Now, there's two parts to this miracle, because right away, the fact that his ears were, the fact that he was healed, his hearing was restored supernaturally. That is amazing. But don't miss the fact that the other part is that his speech impediment was gone. If he's deaf, of course he had a speech impediment. You can't speak words because you have to learn the language. You have to learn to be able to speak, and you learn by hearing. How does a child learn how to speak the English language? A child learns to speak the English language by hearing it. You hear it, and you learn that these sounds, you put these sounds together, and it means this, and we all understand that it means this. And you understand how to formulate words and sentences and put them together. You learn that by hearing. Well, this man couldn't hear. So, of course, he had a speech impediment. He didn't know what words sounded like. So for him to go from having no understanding of how to speak to all of a sudden being able to speak without an impediment, even that is a supernatural thing. So when Jesus said, be opened, and we see these two things, that lets us know that when he said, be opened, this is a beautiful picture. When he said be opened, he's not just talking. He certainly is saying for the ears to be opened. But when he said, Ephphatha, be opened, he means more than just the ears be opened. That's a part of that. That, in fact, is the result. It is the byproduct of what he's saying. He's saying be opened. In other words, he is saying to that spiritual realm, be open. That which was closed, the spiritual realm is closed off because of this flesh of this world. It's veiled. The flesh veils is the veil between this natural world and the spiritual world. And we can't see those things. Jesus said, be opened. The Greek word that also means in part to that is there. Well, I'll get to that in a second. So he said, be open. The word that was used there in Mark is Ephphatha. And it means to be open, to open what was closed. So yes, he's speaking about the man's ears that have been closed to be open. But he's also talking about the spiritual realm, which was closed because of this flesh in the natural realm. He's also talking about the spiritual world being opened. When we pray and we speak the word in faith, the natural world, which is closed off, which has closed off the spiritual world, the natural world, which has closed us off to the spiritual world, is taken out of the way, and the spiritual realm is laid open before you. That's what he was saying. And that same thing is true for you and I. He said, Ephphatha, open what was closed. Picture, when you speak the word, picture yourself, whatever you're faced with today that you need to stand in faith and speak words of faith, say be opened. Speak the word and say be opened, the same way Jesus did. Pray in faith and watch as that natural world, that veil of the natural realm parts and separates. Because what you're saying is be open. Spiritual world, be opened. Be opened up to us because we're ready to receive it. The Greek word also means in part to open as the firstborn opens the womb. So when Jesus said this, part of that word means to open as the firstborn opens the womb. The firstborn had a double portion. Under the old covenant, under the law, the firstborn always had a double portion blessing. You and I, according to the New Testament, you and I are the church of the firstborn, having the full blessings, having the double portion beyond that, having the full blessings of Jesus Christ, who was the firstborn of the resurrection. Now that that way has been opened, when Jesus said, be opened, the spiritual realm, be opened to us, he has opened up the way. He's the firstborn of the resurrection, and we can follow. And so anytime that you see that natural realm as a veil closing off your vision to the spiritual realm, say, be opened. Because that's what he said. And the word he said is open as the firstborn opens the womb. Jesus, the firstborn of the resurrection, opened up the way to the spiritual realm. And the firstborn always has a double portion blessing. So we get through him, because we're the church of the firstborn, we get not just the double portion blessing, we get the full blessings that are promised to us here in Jesus Christ. These are the promises of the word.